time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. You know, we like to shake things up on the Weekend Morning Show, and we've certainly done that with our Abandoned Manitoba segment. We're talking about more discovering Manitoba, or discovering the abandoned places in Manitoba. We're doing a summer edition of the segment where Gordon is telling us about great hidden gems in the province that you might want to check out yourself and the abandoned sites within them. And we continue to shake things up because this morning we're speaking to Gordon where he's out in the field, on the ground reporting. We reached him by phone. Hello, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now, where are you calling from today?
I'm out west of Portage-la-Prairie.
And what are you doing there?
Well, I'm out looking for historic sites.
Which makes sense. It was a silly question, let's be honest.
I figured if I'm encouraging everybody to go out and travel the province, I should take my own advice.
Which town are you taking us to today?
Well, I wanted to go and take us to various summer festivals. And, of course, the last week's episode was to the Manitoba Threshermen's Reunion. This week, we're going to Dauphin, where they have, of course, a wonderful celebration of Ukrainian culture, you know, through dance, food, and more, you know, the National Ukrainian Festival. So we're going to the Dauphin area.
Now, what is it about Dauphin that first got you there to kind of discovering abandoned sites?
Well, I think it probably had to be the abundance of bridges. I'm a real fanatic for old bridges, and there's a lot of them north of Dauphin. And they were just wonderful, the different types of bridges I could find there.
So if someone was planning a trip to Dauphin, particularly to discover some abandoned sites, what would you recommend that they check out?
Well, I think I'd start with a place called Selo Ukraina. Is it Ukrainian? It stands for Ukrainian Village. It's actually about 7 miles straight south of Dauphin on Highway Number 10, and it's actually the site of the National Ukrainian Festival. So there's a wonderful pioneer village there. There's a whole bunch of Ukrainian homes. There's a Ukrainian Orthodox church. There's an old one-room schoolhouse, a general store. You know, it really gives you a sense of what Ukrainian life was like in the Dauphin area, you know, over 100 years ago.
How so? How is it different? How do you get that Ukrainian feel?
Well, I mean, among other things, the Orthodox Church, you know, you get that the double cross on top of it, the iconry inside the church. Like, it really gives you a sense of how different that church is compared to some of the churches in other parts of the province.
What do we know about that village in terms of the people who lived there, when they were there, like some of that slice of Ukrainian history?
Well, the village came together gradually as they acquired buildings. I could say it was brought, the village wasn't actually a village there. It was actually brought there from a variety of other places. But just from the nature of the construction of the buildings, you know, for example, quite a lot of the buildings are made out of squared timbers. You know, just immediately south of the Dauphin area, of course, we get into the Riding Mountains. And of course, the Riding Mountains were forested and they would cut down timbers, just square them. They wouldn't necessarily, you know, cut them into boards, just square them, make buildings out of them, and then they'd fill the spaces between those squared timbers with a mixture of lime, not the citrus fruit, but was actually a material, caustic material made out of clay and horsehair. You know, so
wow.
That was a unique building material that you saw quite frequently in the Dauphin area 100 years ago.
So what other places are there to explore?
Well, one of my absolute favorites is a site just east of Dauphin, about 7 miles, the site of the Number 7 Bombing and Gunnery School. During the Second World War, Canadians participated in the war through what was called the Canadian Air Training Plan. All over the prairies, there were sites where they trained flight crews to fly the bombers of the Second World War. And there's all kinds of sites in the Dauphin area. But there's one especially that I think is impressive east of Dauphin, and there's lots of it left. You know, if you want to go and see, there's old hangars, like the hangar floors are still there. There's a what's called a stop butt that they would use for gunnery training. But most impressively, there are the three runways that were part of this old training school. But when they abandoned it, they just left the runways, and trees grew through them. So that now you get sort of a triangular configuration of a forest.
Hmm.
Really kind of neat.
Now there's also a grave site nearby. What does that signify or stand for?
Well, of course, I mean, there's lots of cemeteries generally, but I think the most significant one, historically at least, has to be a site north of Dauphin, about 15 miles. Dauphin is not the original site of the Fort Dauphin. People often think Fort Dauphin and Dauphin are the same thing, but they're not. Fort Dauphin was located up on the west shore of Dauphin Lake. And back during the 1700s, a very famous fellow by the name of Peter Fiddler was based there. He was based there from 1819 to 1822. In fact, he died there and was buried beside the fort. Now, unfortunately, the site of the fort has been lost. We don't know exactly where it was, but someone has put up a wooden marker to mark approximately where we think it was and where we think Peter Fiddler's grave was. Very famous guy. He was known for being an early surveyor, an early map maker, maybe more importantly. And that his maps, in fact, were what a lot of the early explorers used to find their way across what we now think of as Manitoba. Mm-hmm. So basically about 200 years ago, one of the first sort of European explorers of the area.
Wow. Okay. And there's another local character as well that has a bit of history attached to Dauphin, Ezon Barn.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, another one of my fixations are old barns. Mm-hmm. And a fellow by the name of Hubert Ison, he was a First World War veteran. He had originally come from England. He settled down in the Dauphin area to farm. And he went overseas during the First World War and came back very badly wounded. He had been gassed. But he built himself a barn west of Dauphin using that characteristic squared timber technique. And it's still standing there today. If you want to get a really good example, unfortunately, it's not in use. It's actually just off the highway, and it's kind of overgrown, but it's still an impressive-looking building. You can get a sense of how agriculture was done in this area about 100 years ago.
So if you wanted to see the Ison Barn, whereabouts that is that in relation to Dauphin?
It's about 2 miles straight west of Dauphin on Highway Number 5. You know, if you're heading west of Dauphin towards Gilbert Plains, you can't miss it. It's right on the north side of the highway.
All right, one final pick. If someone wants to do a tour of these abandoned sites, where else would you recommend that they try and head to?
Well, it's tough because there's so many of them, but I think I would have to then go with another little one-room schoolhouse. I'm a sucker for little schoolhouses. And just west of the Selo Ukraina site, you know, the site of the Ukrainian village, about 6 miles west of there is the remains of the former Kostya School. One-room schoolhouse, it was built in 1903, and it was used until 1965. So like a lot of the other one-room schools, it was phased out in the 1960s. For a while, it was used as a granary, and you can tell that because when you peek in one of the windows, you can see grain all over the floor that they didn't quite clean up when
really?
They stopped using it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, the floor is kind of settled in the middle where the weight of the grain kind of pressed it down. But there's still a little bookcase inside, you know. They must have not cleaned it out completely. They started filling it up with the grain.
I love that. You can still see a little bit of that history right in front of you.
Oh, you can tell, obviously, that it was a former schoolhouse. There's no question that what it was. But it's been empty now what appears to be several decades. But it's still there, and you can see what life would have been like in the old Kostya school.
Gordon, thank you so much for taking us on this tour of Dauphin. Where are you taking us next?
Well, next week, Melita is having its banana days. So I thought we would go down to the southwestern corner of Manitoba and see what we can see there.
Let's do it. Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Nadja.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.